40 live everywhere on that there iHeartRadio app. Hey, everybody, it's the Four Court. I'm your well-fed host, Neil Saavedra. How do you do? I wrote that joke today in honor of my boys, the Lost Boys, my fight team from many years ago, are having a reunion today, and I am here with you and happy to be here with you, but missing them today as they connect. Been many years since we've all been together in the same place at the same time. So big love out to the Lost Boys and all the craziness that they bring. Our master Phil is out there with the whole gang, and I tip my hat to them. Kitchen tips and tricks for technique of the week. There are so many ways to cut corners, and it's not about like cutting corners in a bad way. It's about being more efficient, and some of these are probably going to make you go, wait, what? But hear me out. There are, everything in your kitchen is a tool. Everything does something. As our buddy Alton Brown always says, you don't want unitaskers, which means you, unless you absolutely have to have this thing, it's the only thing it does, fine. But a unitasker is something that only does one task. You should have fewer things that do more than a bunch of things that do one thing. I know I'm a gadget guy, and I like stuff. And I don't have a huge kitchen here at my home. Matter of fact, the backyard kitchen, the outdoor kitchen, is bigger than our one indoors here because our house is old. They didn't, you know, it's interesting. Kitchens were designed to not be an entertainment part of your house. I know that sounds weird, but in 1912, when our house was built, the kitchen was kind of closed off. You did your business in there and you brought it out into the entertainment areas that were, you know, really nice, crown molding, all of these things. But in the kitchen, it's super pedestrian, very simple. And when you think about that, you have to think that you don't have all the real estate in your kitchen that you may need. Counter space is always a problem. You get a bunch of these unitaskers, as Alton Brown calls them. They only do one thing, they pile up. So you kind of pick and choose to see what works best. However, there are tools that you probably don't think about, like, wow, I wonder what I can do with that. Your dishwasher, believe it or not, if you are doing, let's talk about big parties, let's talk about, because things are changed, let's talk about the holidays coming, when you've got to do a task that is time-consuming and a pain in the butt, like washing potatoes. If you've got a lot of potatoes, this is going to sound weird, but trust me, it works. You get all your potatoes. You place those dirty potatoes on the top rack of your empty dishwasher. I'm waiting for everybody to go. Did he say dishwasher? Yes. Top rack, empty dishwasher, no soap. Don't put soap. Don't do any of that. You put it on the rinse cycle, and it will wash them just as good as you could by hand quickly. And then they're taken care of. This works for other vegetables as well. Keep in mind, you're only putting it on the rinse cycle. Thinking about utilizing these tools in different ways is smart. Now, this way, there's many other things that I've seen people do. I've seen people actually cook food. I don't necessarily recommend cooking food in your dishwasher, but you could wash food. That's what it does. It washes things. You just got to make sure you're not doing a full cycle, just a rinse cycle, and gives them a nice little rinse. Did you know that you can hard boil eggs, although it's not boiling, in your oven? Yeah, you can. You can simply put them on the rack. They will stay because of the rack. They'll dip into the portions between the rack, and they'll hold there, and you can bake them off in an oven. The issue that I have found with this is if you're going to mash them up into, you know, like you're making an egg salad or something, fine. But I found if you're making like deviled eggs or something, it tends to change colors. The albumin, the whites of the egg, tend to get a little darker where they're touching the metal. There, I've seen other people take like a muffin tin, fill it with some water, and put the eggs in there, and then bake them. And the water insulates a little more, and you can get them nicer. But you could do a lot of eggs at a time in there. We've talked about how you can fit almost 60 hot dogs standing upright in your crock pot. Now you want to rotate them inwards, so not just the outward ones get the heat, the crispiness. You want to change the ones from the center onto the outside as you're cooking, but and then you put them on warm. And if you're having a lot of kids running around by the pool or something like that, you want to keep those hot dogs warm and do them en masse. You want to use that your crock pot, because that becomes a different kind of tool. But people don't think of that. They think about making stews or soups, which is great for those things. But utilizing all of these things in a different way is where you get the kick from. Did you know that you can use the pickle juice in a pickle jar after all the pickles are gone to make more pickles just by heating it up and adding the cucumbers and going through the process that way? You can use that same brine. Again, you have to heat it up to one for bacteria and all of that and for the brining process. But you can do all of, you can use that brine again in making your own homemade pickles. Come on now. All right, many more tips and tricks for the kitchen when we come back, so go nowhere. It is The Fork Report. I'm Neil Saavedra. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on that there iHeartRadio app. Hey, everybody, it's The Fork Report. All things food, beverage, and beyond. I'm your well-fed host, Neil Saavedra. How do you do? Coming up in a little bit, I want to tell you, before you leave a nasty Yelp review right now as places are opening back up, you have to hear this. Of course, some crazy OC fair food and much more coming up, so go nowhere. Right now, we're doing Technique of the Week. Kitchen tips are where I am focused on. And utilizing things for different purposes, getting the most out of the space in your kitchen, and cleaning and all of those different things. So the next technique is one that I do here at the house. Very simple. I went out and bought a, you know, the old, I guess people still use them, the squared paper napkins, right? In my house, they were always in a little, you know, growing up as a kid, my mom would keep those square napkins in an upright holder, right? Almost like bookends, sort of, attached in the middle, and you'd put your paper napkins in there, and you'd take them when you were eating. They sat on the dinner table. Well, you can still buy those. A lot of people still use them. And I found one that was nice, kind of a polished nickel, or brushed nickel, rather. Looked nice, and I used that to put my cutting boards upright. Now, I use the Epicurean-style cutting boards, so they're just under a quarter inch thick. They're very thin. They're actually made out of a paper of sorts and compressed. They're excellent. I love them. I also like that they're very thin, and you can throw them in the dishwasher. So I think they're great. But I can put many of them in there, different sizes. They have rubber feet on them, too, so they don't slide around on the counter. And I just put it in that napkin holder. Another type of holder that works very well in the kitchen is a simple upright file rack. Sometimes they're made out of metal or whatever, and they hold your files upright. You can put those in the cabinet where you keep your cookie sheets or your baking pans, like muffin tins and things like that, and you can store them in those spaces and keep them organized so you're not having to pull, you know, because you stack them, then you got to pull the top ones off so you can get to the ones on the bottom. This way, they're upright and they're golden. They work out really good getting things in and out. On that same note of stacking things differently, something that I like to do when I make a lot of soup, or if I have leftover soup or things of this nature, I will parse it out I'll either keep it in its entirety if I'm going to use it like in a gallon Ziploc bag, if I'm going to cook the whole thing at once, or if I want to do it into serving sizes, I go ahead. It's a little more difficult because you kind of have to separate the bits, the goodies in there, whether it's the chicken, the noodles, the veggies. You have to separate that so it's equal with the broth in each separate bag that you're putting it in. However, the key tip here is to put the soup or stews, things like that, in a Ziploc bag, put them on a cookie sheet, put them in the freezer, and freeze them overnight that way. This works for sauces, all kinds of things like that. Then what you do is you can stack them like books in your freezer, and it takes up much less room than putting them into a big container or a, you know, some sort of Tupperware or something that stacks and takes up all kinds of space. This way it's like books or records, if you remember what those were. It goes ding, 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 ding. You got them all there, ready to go whenever you need them. Other things to think about is smells. I get it. I don't know why anybody would microwave fish, but there are, and fish can be tough, but there is a trick. You put a little dish soap on a dish rag, heat the rag itself for a few minutes, leave the rag in the microwave for about a half hour, and then return to the rag, wipe down the walls of the microwave, and that nastiness should go away. There's also another one that I heard about your Tupperware when it gets stinky. A lot of people don't read newspapers anymore, but you may get, you know, coupons and things like that in the mail. You can get that and you fold it up and you put it into your Tupperware or your plastic bins, and you put it there overnight. You take it out, and apparently it absorbs a lot of the stink. Something to think about if you're doing that. Polishing copper. If you have copper pots, I only have a few here. I use them for making candy or sweets or things like that because the way they heat and the like. But if you do have your copper pots, you can polish them with ketchup. There's enough acidity in ketchup. Yep. To polish them up. You just put it on a cloth, you rub it all over your copper, then rinse it off with warm water. And they come out beautiful. They come out really, really nice. You know, I was at Employees Only in the West Hollywood area with my brother Craig the other night, and they have this beautiful bar, and Craig and Joaquin, they have a beautiful bar at home and it has copper on top. And he always goes back and forth about fretting whether he should clean it, let it patina naturally. I like the fact that you get stains or rings from people drinking on it. I think it looks cool. However, Jonathan, there, we call him Sebastian because we're smart asses. But Jonathan at Employees Only said that they use lemon. They just use the lemons they don't use at the end of the night. And they clean. I think theirs is... I think it's different. I don't think it's copper. I think it might be nickel or something. But they clean it with that. And that's the same principle. You're using the acid, the natural acid. In that case, it's citric acid to clean those metals.
And then along that same line, could you use Coke? Because I know people talk about using Coca-Cola to clean stuff.
You can. Jewelry and the like. And I think it'll clean silver and things like that. Yeah, it's got acid in it. So, yes,
indeed. Just dump the food on the counter and go for it. Just
clean everything with it. Sure, there you go.
Okay.
You know, sponges are nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And we change ours out very frequently here in the house, but still, they can get nasty. But you can zap them in your microwave.
That's what I do.
Get them wet. You don't want to do it dry because the whole way it works in a microwave is that it's knocking molecules around, and water helps do that. So it will you put it in there and you can zap it. You know, it doesn't even have to be long. Just be a handful of seconds or what have you. It'll get hot, and it'll get hot enough to kill bacteria, and in doing so, will keep it from stinking.
Can I give you if you don't know about this, just a little word of advice?
Sure.
Don't wait until it starts stinking to do it.
Yes.
Because I've done that. Because I'm like, what is that stench? And it's like not an old sponge, so I don't want to throw it away.
Yeah.
But it, if you just do it sort of on a regular basis, you don't have to wait until it gets stinky to do it.
You're just zapping it every now and then.
I've learned by experience.
And lastly, from that arena, when you're putting, if you're measuring out like honey or molasses or corn syrup for something, spray it with a light cooking spray on the inside, then put the ingredient and we'll slide out instead of stick to the walls of your measuring cups and the like. All right, there's your tips and tricks for your kitchen today. Stick around. We're going to get into Yelp reviews, and you need to hear me out on this one. It is the Fork Report. I'm Neil Saavedra. Let's get the latest news now with Amy King in the KFI Newsroom.